us, Jesus. Oh, God, help us to do it.
He gives strength to me.
strength of the Lord. Raise your hands and let's worship the Lord. If you need strength, He'll give you strength. He'll break those bands that's holding us down when we raise our hands. Let's worship Him tonight. Let's worship the Lord. Let's give Him everything. Why are we holding back? He's our Savior. He died for us. Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing today. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Am I now?
I'm glad to be here. It's kind of like coming out from under an old house somewhere. You're hot and sweaty, and spider webs has got all over you. You might have run into a snake or two, but you still had to do whatever you were under there for. No matter about the snakes. Or be up in an old hot attic somewhere, and it's already 79 degrees there, but up in there it's 120. And you're climbing around in whatever gets in the eaves of the house, squirrels, rats, bats, it doesn't matter, birds. Then you got to roll around in the insulation. And that's bad too. And you're hot and you're sweaty, and you climb down and you get you a big old glass of iced tea and kind of clean up a little bit. Refreshing. That's what it's like when you come in here, isn't it? You get a big old glass of refreshing drink of that Holy Ghost water, and it hits you down deep inside. You know, you think, you know, I have been out there, but I'm in here now, and I feel safe. Nothing bit me, nothing stung me, and I'm doing okay. You know, I myself appreciate the fact that I'm where I'm at. I'm still trying to gain ground, and I'm trying to get some of that faith and virtue and knowledge in me. I'm still working on it, and I might be slow, so just slow down until I can catch up. And I might ask some, there's never a goofy question, there's never a stupid question, I don't care how, but there's always a goofy answer. Always. So, don't be afraid of having a question and looking for the answers, because God has the answers. And if you're wanting to find out something from God, just ask Him, and He'll somehow, He will let you know. I can't get over the fact that if God loves a little dog. Now, we've got two little dogs, and that's I didn't want these dogs when we got them, but I got them anyway. But, and they're growing on me. Matter of fact, one of them, she is very particular who she likes. She don't like me very well, but she's there when she wants something to eat. Now, buddy, she's there, and she knows I'll give her something to eat. But I know one time we took her and Doodles out with us fishing, and so I had a big old chunk of, I thought I'd catch me some catfish. So I had me a big old chunk of chicken liver. That's pretty good bait for catfish, but I had it on about a 5-aught hook. And I had a big old rod, you know, up there. And I thought, well, we'll move over here, and I'll catch something there. You know, I didn't really catch anything. But I laid my rod down, and if Chloe didn't run over there and grab that chicken liver with that hook in it and swallowed it. Man. And she got that hook hung in her, down her throat and stuff, and we went to crying and hollering, oh, Jesus, help us, you know. And I cut the line, and I pulled the anchor, and we headed for the bank, and I was bawling. I really did like that little dog. And, you know, I thought, what am I going to do? Here it is. This little dog is going to die on us for sure, and I'm the one that done it, you know. But I didn't realize she'd run over and grab that chicken liver. You know, we'd just been feeding her. But anyway, we got home and didn't know what to do. But I had some hemostats. I thought, I'll pull this hook out of her, you know. She wouldn't lay still. And I thought, now, if I could get her tranquilized, I could get that hook. But we was praying and praying, you know, God help us, you know. And I called, this was on a weekend. I called a vet and, okay, well, now you can bring her, but it's going to cost you $250. I thought, my Lord, $250. If I had $25, I could set up with it. I didn't have any money. But anyway, we had a little ironing board deal, so we laid her on that, and I thought, if I can get her tranquilized enough, I can get this hook. I don't think she swallowed it too much, but I done my best, and so I said, I'm going to have to leave her alone for just a little bit till I figure out what I'm going to do. I thought, well, now, I'm not a doctor, but I'll sure try to get this, you know, poor little dog. And so, in the next few days, that dog, God had to touch that dog, because I think Lisa come in there and says, Meemaw, says, Chloe, spit up this hook. And it was a big hook. She said, here's this hook. I thought, God, you are so mindful of us. I don't know if God touched that dog, because I was fixing to do an operation on that dog, and for just to save that dog from me operating on that dog, or if he just decided to touch that dog because he loved him. But, you know, he did. God touched that dog. And I thought, you know, if God can touch a little dog like that, you ask him, he can do so many wonderful things to us and for us. And, you know, that did increase my faith. It done something to me. It touched me. It broke me down a little more. And I thought, God, help me to really appreciate the fact that you love me, that you're mindful of me. I know we go through things and we suffer and we go through things of life and stuff, but you know God is mindful of that. I know we had family reunion here not too long ago, and some was there, and they had the genealogy that went way back, and back to from England. And I looked at that, and I, you know, well, that's just my genealogy. And I've always heard them say, well, you know, don't look at your genealogy and stuff. And that's all right, because there might be a horse thief in there. There might be a outlaw or two, and I'm sure they are. But I look back, and I started looking, and it said that the one that came over from England was a bond servant to someone. And they rode over here in an old ship. And then I started looking on the internet, and I found where they have listed where these ships come from different countries, and they have their manifest, and they have their people that are on them, their names and stuff. And I started reading those names, and then it said, died at sea. And it would be little children, and it would be people that was fleeing England. At that time, around the 1600s, there was a lot of uprising, and they were against people that was trying to be Christians, and they were killing them. They were coming into America. And I thought, you know, God, these people was running away from something, and they came to a place where God was sending them to. And I thought, God, you know, I'm in a place where I can give you my all if I can allow you to touch me and to let me, you know, serve you, you know. And I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate God, and I love Him. I love God. I'm like Brother Tally said today. He said, I love this way. And you've got to love something to really be good at it. When you get beyond the, when you're good at something, you go beyond the knowledge of it, and you do it naturally because you love it. It's because it's in your heart. It's because you enjoy what you do. And it should be the same thing when you're serving God. It goes beyond head knowledge, but it goes and it comes from your heart. And that's what I want to be. I want to let it come from my heart when I serve you people, when I do something for you. I want to do it with love. I want to do it from the very depths of my heart, and to say that I love you. But anyway, I'll set it out from here. But I want to let God know how much I appreciate Him, and how much I'm glad that He let me be a part of this, and to be a part of His fine family, and to stand up and say, Lord, I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I'm here, brothers. I'm glad I'm here, sitting amongst the fine people that has the ability to help me to go on. And I want to go on. I want to go on with God and to try to allow Him to have more control of my life.
Strengthened me, so I thought this would be a good time to give thanks to God. Things have been going better for me because for longer than I would care to remember, I've really had a sleep problem, and 2 or 3 years ago, I missed 3 Sundays in a row for lack of sleep, and so I take melatonin. I guess most of you know that melatonin is what makes us get sleepy at night, but the older we get, the less we produce, so I was in the drugstore recently, and I was looking around, and I found a different kind of melatonin. I'll give God credit for letting me find it, because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. So this melatonin, a standard dose is 3 milligrams, and this was 5 milligrams. And it's an 8-hour time release. This was about 3 months ago. So I started taking it, and I slept to midnight anyway, but now I sleep so good on Wednesday night. Brother Smith, you finally got into my head that I got to be here on Wednesday night. Now, I wasn't here on the Wednesday night that you went down and had a few songs and went downstairs, but I was there. I've been here every Wednesday night in May and in June, and I've been over here every Wednesday night. You were talking about last week, you want the unfaithful to become faithful. So I think I've got it, finally got it in my head that I've got to make that drive on Wednesday night, even if it kindly goes through against my nature sometimes. But anyway, you know, I can drive back on Wednesday night, and about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I can relax with a cup of coffee and take one of those melatonin pills, and I just sleep like a baby. So ever since I've been on that, I've been sleeping like a baby. And then, I've had a problem with fatigue. I know Brother Daniel said he's had that problem sometimes, and I've really had a problem with that. But, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've only had 2 days that I really felt fatigued. So, you know, I give God the praise for that, because, you know, it's hard to be enthusiastic about God if you don't have a lot of energy. So it takes energy, you know, and so I'm, uh, I'm so thankful for this vision that we have. You know, every time somebody comes at me with another doctrine, it just makes me more appreciate and more want to stand with this vision, because for several months this middle-aged Jehovah's Witness guy has been coming by, and I tell him, you know, he's not going to change me and I'm not going to change him. So this younger Jehovah's Witness guy started coming by lately, and he's clean cut and articulate, you know. And I said, why are you coming by? You're not going to change me and I'm not going to change you. But you know, they think they've got a commission from God. He showed me a map of every block in Conway, and they think their mission is to go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Then the end shall come, and so that's their mission. So anyway, I said, you're not going to change me. And he said, you know, I got to say one thing. You have got a different understanding than most people I run into. But I imagine he still thinks he's got something, a better way to show me. But of course, there's no better way than this. I mean, I don't believe there's any better way than this way. But anyway, you know, it takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. You know, an atheist says this world was not designed. It was just an accident. You ever consider your hands, you know, four fingers and a thumb? And if we didn't have that thumb, there would be a lot of things we couldn't do, or that we would do with difficulty. So there has to be design. I mean, it couldn't just happen by accident. And, you know, our nostrils point downward. And if that wasn't designed, it just evolved. Our nostrils could point upward. We could catch water and air and dust. And so there has to be a God to, even if there was no God, which I know there is, I would still have to believe in a God. But I've been watching the DVDs of the camp meeting, and it was really, really been good. And I didn't know that Brother Bass was such a comedian. I mean, the Bible says laughter does good like a medicine. You can't watch him without really having some good belly laughs. And even though he's got cancer, I don't know if he tries to be funny or if he just comes out funny. But Brother Wright was talking about eternal judgment, and he was Hebrews 6, and he said he was talking about that scripture where it says tasting of the heavenly gift, which he says is Jesus, and he said tasting of the power of the world to come, which he says that is the ministry. So I don't know if he's saying that we've already tasted of that or not, but I know Brother Smith has said we have not tasted of the powers of the world to come. And I may be wrong in my understanding, but to me, Brother Smith can correct me, but to me, the tasting of the power of the world to come would be seeing some of the demonstration of God's power like we read about in Acts. Is that what the tasting the powers of the world to come is?
Well, the the world to come is when God has, you know, he's finally rid the world of sin. So it is going to take a ministry that is, and the bride ruling and reigning. So it has to be dealing with a time that where the fullness of God's power is being manifested in the world, and we haven't tasted that yet in the Gentile world. They tasted it back there, but the world that's to come, we're going to have to taste that down here. And we hadn't got there yet. And he was talking to the Hebrews about going on to perfection, and this would we do if God permits. So, yeah, I see it, the powers of the world to come is the full manifestation of God's power.
That's what I thought, yeah. Well, anyway, I know this world has got a lot of cleaning up to do. I mean, you know, you hear us. I mean, there's still a lot of good in the world, but you hear so much evil things. And there was a woman 2 weeks ago that died up north of Conway, and while they were having her funeral, there were two people that were at the funeral that had their houses broken into while they were having the funeral. So we know that seemed like evil is just on the increase. And you know, we should be thankful that we have God has given us a certain standard of decency and right and wrong, because some people, you know, and they go out and break into houses. In the Conway paper all the time, you read about cars broken into and houses broken into. So it seems like lawlessness is just increasing. So anyway, like I say, I'm so thankful that I've been feeling better. I give God the glory and the praise, and it's good to be here with you.
Praise, and I don't know how much I can say about it exactly, but the kids and I went up to Louisville for the youth convention up there and just felt a wonderful spirit. It was just a really, really a good meeting and a good covering there. And our young people, Caleb and Rachel and Nathan, were there and acquitted themselves well. Got right in there and worked with it, and it was just a good time. I can't really give you any one specific talk or anything that stood out, because it was just really good, but the spirit was just really good. Saturday night, they started their evening services at 7 p.m., and that particular night, with the song service, the young people moved out and started praying with each other. And there was probably, I don't know, maybe two-thirds of them, I don't know, that they didn't leave the sanctuary till midnight. There was food being served in the dining room, and most of the adults actually headed for the food. But the young people were in there just on fire and praying with each other. Six got the Holy Ghost that night. It was just a really good spirit, and I appreciated the opportunity to go. The people there were just good people. I mean, they were just very welcoming and open. I got to work with some of them in the kitchen and the dining room, and it was just like being with some of our people right here. They like to cut up and they like to sing, and they, you know, very sincere people. And I just wanted to just express that and maybe open the door for young people that were there if they wanted to say something. But it was just a really good time blending spirits with some people that I haven't known that well before. But you know, I wanted to be, I didn't realize how long all of this coming together had been going on, you know, until about a year or so ago, and it just kind of hit me, you know, how many years are going by, and I hadn't really stepped out and, you know, done anything about it. God felt like really convicted me about that he's trying to do something, he's trying to bring us together, and I hadn't really, you know, put my hand to the plow, so to speak, and made an effort. So I committed myself at that time to at least go to this meeting this year, and it was definitely a good experience and just a pleasure to be a part. I'm looking forward now to going to Wichita and, you know, stirring it up a little bit more. But I just needed to share that. I felt like I needed to say that. It was kind of a sacrifice to go, but I'm learning. I'm learning that the sacrifice is well worth it. God pays his debts. He really does. And he used some things there, some people and some things that were said, to really touch my heart and my life. And I feel like God's working. I hope he is, because I need work. And I appreciated the chorus that Sister Cindy started with this morning. Let the temple be filled with his glory. And as we were singing that, I just, you know, I thought, we got to remember that this is the temple. This is the temple right here. We're not singing about this church building and letting his glory come in here, but let this temple be filled with his glory. That's what I want. I want this temple filled. I was saying a couple weeks ago or whatever, you know, that I feel this need, and it's getting stronger. I feel this need, Lord. Like Brother Smith said about the young people, I feel it for the young people, but you know what? I feel it for me. I don't want to just... and I'm not arguing with Brother Smith, but I'm just saying I feel that as I think of the young people, I think, well, you know, I don't want to push them on up over and then me not make it. I really don't. I want to be right there. I want to get over there with them. I want to reach that height with them. I want to be up there. I want to be, maybe they'll help me. Maybe they'll give me a hand when I get weak, and maybe I can give them a hand, and I want us to go together. I want to be filled with His glory, that when I go out in this world, that something gets people's attention, you know, and it may be that I'm wearing a dress or a skirt. That gets their attention every time, I'll tell you what. But I don't want it to be just that. I don't want it to be just that, because I've known people wearing skirts and dresses all the time, and I didn't really want what they had, you know. So I want there to be something else. If that's the start, if that's what will grab their attention first is the physical appearance, good. But I want there to be something beyond that, because a lot of people that I've dealt with, they automatically assume if I'm wearing a skirt that I'm judging them. Have you noticed that? They automatically assume that. It's like, I want to say, you don't know my heart. You know, why are you assuming that a skirt automatically makes me judgmental of you? But that's how most people think that I've met. And so I want to have something in here that I can portray to them that tells them, no, that's not it. That's not what I'm doing this for, you know. That I want to show them love. I want them to feel that love, that they can know that, you know, this is somebody who knows Christ, that who knows God and has Him living in them. So I'm just sharing odds and ends here, I guess. It's good to be here. It's good to feel the Spirit. I have felt the Spirit here today, but most of all, I'm just glad to be a part of His people.
Said it was a wonderful spirit I felt there, and it was one of the best meetings I've ever been to, I can honestly say, because I feel like I really got something my soul needed. The main theme about the meeting was about standing firm in our walk with God and resisting the temptations that come our way. There were several good talks and several good testimonies. Before we went to the meeting, we were able to go to church in Dawson Springs before we headed over there. And Brother Butero, he gave the youth a few verses, and I wanted to read them. I left my Bible at home, but if y'all could put Titus 2, verses 11 through 15 up there, I'd like to read it, because used to what I used to think, obviously when I was younger, scriptures didn't mean as much to me as they do now, but now I see different things in them. When I read these, I felt something. I felt like it was like God was speaking to me, and I feel like He's speaking to all His people, and I feel this is a calling. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise me. What that meant to me is that when I try to stand for what's right, and when I try to take a stand, people are going to feel like I am putting something on them, or trying to put them down. Like she said, when we try when I try to enforce standards in my life, or when any of us do, people see that and they feel condemnation, like we are trying to be judgmental of people. But And they this world comes at us with so many different things, saying, oh, it's okay to do this. It's okay to dress this way. It's okay to act this way. It's okay to do these things. Why? What is wrong with it? What is wrong with these things? These things aren't hurting anybody. But God knows. I serve a God that knows the end result of these things. And I want to take a stand tonight. I want to take a stand for the calling that we have. I want to take a stand for my God who has done so much for me and brought me out of this world and helped me to get myself back out of the ditch after all I did. I'll tell you, I serve a good God tonight. I serve a God who's able to do anything, who's able to deliver me. He's able to deliver you. He's able to deliver us all. Let's take a stand. Youth, young people, let's take a stand for this church, for God, for the standards that we have. I feel really strongly about it. There's a calling. There's a calling tonight, and I want to answer that calling. I'm thankful. I'm really thankful I got to go to the meeting. It was a wonderful spirit. I got a wonderful touch, and I just wanted to express my thankfulness for what God is doing.
I appreciate beautiful testimony, Brother Caleb, appreciate a good positive attitude and a good report. And I'm thankful for what we're doing. You know, I appreciate Brother Smith and working with the brethren up there, and I love let's get together attitude. Working things out and having a spirit to love one another. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And this is a peaceful way. This is a way that we show love and understanding one toward another. And we build one another up. God likes a spirit of edification, of building up. And those that don't have a whiny, complaining spirit. And I know I have. I'm guilty of that. And I'm preaching to myself. But I want to have a good, positive attitude towards God and towards my brother, and building up the body of Christ. And that's one of the things I really love about Brother Michael, is he's always got such a good positive spirit, a good positive message. And I know that God gives us all for our edification. You know, sometimes we need the fire, you know. But I don't want to be the person that's giving my brother the fire, you know. But but I appreciate, I also appreciate suffering, but like Brother York was talking about. I appreciate the suffering that God has put me through. And you know, I've been thinking about, you know, Brother Smith, you know, has been talking about people suffering and elbows hurting and shoulders hurting, and I haven't said much about it, but I've been physically suffering quite a bit. But I want to say that I'm feeling better. And I had, you know, I didn't go into the doctor to get to find out exactly what it was, but I'm pretty sure that I've been suffering from shingles, which, you know, I've never, my mom went through it, and my wife's dad went through it, but I mean, I'm about cleared up from it, but man, I did go through some suffering over it. And one of the things that, and then while I was going through that, my left shoulder went out of socket. I don't know whether any of you all had a shoulder go out of socket, but it is painful. And then I smashed my finger. And I thought, oh God, thank you for this suffering. You know, I thought I could complain about this. But I really did this, believe it or not. I said, thank you, Lord, for this suffering I'm going through. And I just felt a strength. I felt like God strengthened me through it. And but I'm here to say I'm about cleared up from all of it. I'm feeling good. You know, when you're going through suffering, you wonder if it's ever going to get over with. But but I appreciate the suffering that God has put me through. I know it's worked out a good something good in my life. But I'm also thankful for the good times. And I'm thankful for my brethren here that come here and encourage me and have a spirit to bless. And I just feel so blessed when I come here and to church. Brother Fleming, I've never been sorry that I came to church. And I've always felt blessed, you know, even when I didn't feel like the Spirit came in like it does sometimes, I feel blessed. And because, you know, just to be here with the family of God, with my brethren, the body of Christ, there's something that edifies and builds up my faith. And I was thinking about that song that we were singing, that He gives strength when I raise my hands. And, you know, we can raise our hands in prayer, and I know God gives us strength when we pray. But He also gives us strength when we pray for our ministry and when we lift them up and build them up. And I thank God for Brother Smith and for what he's been in my life. I just feel humbled that God would grant me, that He granted me the privilege to be a part of His life, to let Him be a part of my life, and to add something in my life that I would never have had I not found this way. And the understanding that He's given me. And I know that I've always had a spirit to pray for Brother Smith and pray for his ministry. And I feel like God has blessed me through that and give me a desire to stick around and to see what God's doing. I've always felt that God was with Brother Smith and that he had a desire to go on with God and to be a part of something. He had a vision, or has a vision, but that's what I seen when I first come around. I seen that he had a vision that gave me hope, gave me something to look forward to. And I was just watching this Brother White this morning, and I'm just wondering what's going through his mind, you know, because I remember when I first came this way, there was a strangeness to it, but yet there was a familiarity, something that gave me a desire to hear more and to want to know. I think Brother Smith was wise. He didn't choked me with a lot of meat, you know, right away. I mean, he never really choked me with it. I mean, he's a meat preacher. But whenever I remember wondering, talking with some of the saints, and it seemed like everybody had such a knowledge of the scriptures. I'm like, you know, how did you learn all that? You know, and I grew up in studying the Word of God with my dad. I mean, that's all he'd let us read is the Bible. So I had a background in the Bible, but I'm like, you know, kids younger than me knew stuff that I'm like, you know, it made me jealous kind of. But it did give me a desire. I'm like, where are they getting all this? You know, I want to get in on some of this. I want to know where this is coming from. And so, I just love what God has brought, where God's brought me, and for this way, for the ministry that He's put me under, and not just Brother Smith, because you know, like Brother Fleming was saying, the ministry is a fivefold ministry, and so I appreciate all the ministry that God has let me be under and let me be influenced by, and. You can't, I'm embarrassed to say that I haven't gone to enough meetings, recently I haven't been going as much as I should. And I know that if you don't get out and see the rest of the body of Christ, you can lose your vision. And look, on the other side, you can build up your vision, Brother Caleb, when you go out and see what God's doing, and because we're all members one of another, and we all add. That's the characteristic of the body of Christ. Every joint supplieth to another joint, and so we need one another, and not just what we have here, but so that's why I love to watch the meetings. Even if I don't make it, I love to watch them. And to hear testimonies from those who've gone. So I love this way. And I appreciate y'all for being a strength to me. Brother Durham and all y'all. And sitting over here beside Brother Pryor, he challenges me sometimes and makes me think about things I have never thought of. And so I appreciate this way. I want y'all to know that I love the body of Christ. I appreciate being.
Church. But I'll say one thing today when we come in, and it wasn't just because we hadn't been here for a while, but the Spirit was really rich today. I know when the Lord's here, and I know when He's not here, and that's good for us to know, you know, because if we don't know, well, we might think He's here when He's not here, and then when He's here, well, anyway, vice versa. But I thought the Spirit was really great today. I really felt the Lord, and I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate this church, and I appreciate what we stand for. And I really appreciate Brother Caleb's testimony to know that our youth is really getting a hold of this, and they're going forward with it. And that's what we want them to do, because that's what we have done and what we're still doing. And I really appreciate his testimony, and I want to comment about the youth. I really appreciate our youth and they make good talks and all the things that they do. I just really appreciate them, and I want y'all to know that I do. And it's just great to know that we're in a church that's teaching us the right things to do. And I many times around the house, I'm meditating on things of the Lord and what I appreciate, and tell the Lord that I appreciate him, that he's brought me to the body of Christ, and he did the thing that I asked him to when I was just a teenager. And I've often told you my story, and anyway, that I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'd like to know what is the real thing, the right thing, the truth. And the Lord let a minister of this people come to our community and begin to teach, and I've often thanked the Lord for it, because, and Brother Caleb was talking about holding the standard. Did you know that's a part of it? And not only dress, but it's our life. But if you dress right, you're going to have something inside that's going to correspond with the outside. And if you're not going to live right, it's going to show up on the outside. So I'm thankful that our youth wants to do the right thing. And you know that people are looking for something. And you would be surprised, maybe not surprised, but anyway, when they come, they look us over. And when we're out in our homes, in town or wherever, did you know that people is really watching us because they're wanting something? And Brother Tucker always taught us, give them something good to look at. So I think that's a good thing. Give them something good to look at. And if they don't like the way you dress, well, we don't like the way they dress either, you know. I know when I used to work in a factory, and we didn't have any air conditioning. We had an old window fan, and it was hot, really hot. In fact, the business, some of us caught the bus to go home, and we'd have to dry out a little bit before we could get on the bus, because we sat down working on the things. We made these Indian moccasins, and we made a lot of things for boating and all like that, and it was hot. And some of the girls, of course, I wore sleeves. I wore my hose. I didn't go up there that in hose on. I could have, but I didn't, because I was a child of God, and I knew that I wanted to portray the Lord. And so they said, Millie Crow, you're just burning me up at that long sleeve dress on them stockings and all. I said, let me tell you something. I always had an answer for them. I said, let me tell you something. You're hotter than I am, because that heat's hitting you direct, and it's hitting my sleeve. And even though I was perspiring, well, when a breeze come along, I got cooled off, you know. But anyway, I always had an answer, but I didn't give them a smarty answer, but I give them a reasonable answer. And and I didn't know that the boss paid attention to me. I just thought, well, I was one of the workers. They didn't pay attention to me. Just they was with me there to work, you know. And so he said, well, I don't know what, well, my name's Mildreen, but most people call me Millie. He said, well, I don't know what Mildred. No, he called me Mildred. He said, I don't know what Mildred believes, but said, I'll tell you one thing. She sure stands for what she believes. And I thought, yes, that's what we're supposed to do. And I thought how that people watch us and we proclaim the truth, because we've asked God for it. We tried everything else, and it didn't work. And we wanted the real and genuine. And we prayed, and God give it to us. And that's why we're all here tonight. I'm sure everyone in this building is sincere. You wanted God, or you wouldn't be here. And if you don't want him, well, you better get him, because he's here for us. But anyway, I thought how that when people comes, we can worship in a way and look in a way. And I don't mean put on, because you've heard me say before, I don't like no put on stuff. I like the real and genuine, because that's the price that we're paying for real and genuine. And when I go to the grocery store or anywhere, dry good or whatever, and I buy a garment or whatever, I want the real. I want what I paid for. I don't want something. I don't want them to cheat me. So we don't want to cheat nobody. We want to give them the real and genuine and all. But I thought how that we want to worship in a way that will cause people to want what we got. Because I've heard different testimonies of people say, they be around someone, they say, you've got something that I want. And you know what? We have. We have got something that people want. They need it. And to make it, they're going to have it. And I'm like Brother Caleb. Brother, I'm for you 100%. I want to get it. y'all can't hear me. Can y'all not hear me? I've been just giving everything I got. Well, I don't want to go over it, but it was too good to be wasted. But when the minister come to our part of the country to teach this gospel, he didn't beat around the bush. I mean, we got it straight and forward. As someone said, we got it. Well, no, I won't say that. He told us just exactly how it was. I mean, some of the strong things now that people are scared to say because they're afraid to run people off. Brother, it didn't run us off. We sat there with our mouth open. It was hard to take, but we knew we had a feeling because we prayed that God would send a minister that could teach us the Word of God, what it really meant. And whenever we heard it, we accepted it. Even though it was hard, it was against our nature. It was something we'd never heard before. But we sat there and we took it. And that's why that I'm right here today, because I know to make this, I've got to stay put. And I don't care how it hurts, Jesus hurt. He even gave his life that we could have what we have today. And can we get by any less? No, indeed. We've got to take it and go with it. And so tonight, I'm so thankful. I'm so glad. Even though I've cried a many tears, I went home. I thought, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. And not that I didn't want to, but I thought, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. But the Lord has to help us, and he will, and he does. And tonight, I am so thankful for this wonderful way. And I know that we've got to stand. We've got to stand firm. One of these days, as someone said, it's going to show you which is the boys and the men and the boys. And this truth is something that's going to stand. And we've got to prove to people that we have really got what we have got. And so tonight, I'm thankful for this way. I've lived this way since I met these people when I was 16 years old. And I'll soon be 89 years old. But I'll tell you one thing, it gets better every day. And I can't hardly stand to miss a service. We've missed a few services. And I can't hardly stand it because I want to be here. And they say when you get old, if you're not careful, you'll get where you don't care about this anymore. But I'm glad the old age has not fazed me yet. And I'm praying that it won't, because I've come too far to quit now. I've come too far. We've gone through tests. We've gone through trials. But I'll tell you, I thank God for everyone, even though it hurt. It hurt to the core. But I'll tell you one thing, it's been worth everything that I've had to pay for. And I appreciate this way. And I thought, Lord, I pray for our church. Lord, help us to be a shining light, that we will there'll be everything that we need to be for this people, this town to see. Because there's people out here that's looking for what we've got. And the churches nowadays, I know for a fact, if they're letting down. They're letting down. I've got good neighbors. I've got wonderful neighbors. And they think a lot of us because we have never crossed them. I feel like I could give a reasonable answer for the hope that lies within. But we've tried to use wisdom. All the people practically, I've heard y'all have heard me tell this before, about all the people on my street is oneless Pentecost people. They're wonderful people, and they'd do anything for us. We have been good neighbors to them. We've been good examples to them. And I thought how that they're letting down. And I see different things that they're doing they didn't used to do. And all. And I thought, but we can't afford, Brother Smith, we can't afford to let down. Because we do, we'll lose the fight. We'll lose the fight. God won't bless us anymore. Because this is what was planted in our heart. And I don't want to let down. I don't want to let down what was placed in my heart. And I know God answered my prayer when I said, Lord, I want the truth. And I was a teenager. And I've told you how that at that time I could have been hunting for a boyfriend and all like that. But I wasn't hunting for no boyfriend. I wanted God because he dealt with my heart. And so tonight, I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for this wonderful way. And I know that we're going to have to pay a price. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's something that you and I, we have got to go. We've seen the light. And if we see, and then we don't have any more cloak for our sin. And so tonight, I am thankful for this wonderful way. I appreciate it. And then when we go to the meetings, and of course we only get to go in more, but we listen to the DVDs, and I'll tell you what. I love every minute. I love to hear these wonderful words explained, and I try my best to remember. My remembrance is not as good as it used to be, but I strain with all I got to listen, and I hope that I can get it in my heart that it'll stay there, that I won't let nothing go. But anyway, God is so good. And I'll tell you, people, we've got the best thing going. We've got the best thing going. And I pray, God, bless our church. Bless our church. Help us to walk upright before you. Help us to dress right, to look like saints of God and not look like the world. Because look, my neighbors that used to be saintly looking, listen, they're looking like the world now. And it hurts me because I got a girl who lives across the street from me. She's been a sweet neighbor to me. But I'll tell you what, she don't look like a saint of God anymore. And I'll tell you what, people's watching us. If they see us out one way in church, another way. I've had someone, new person just last week, said something to me. Said, I seen one of the, a person said it hurt me. They wasn't dressed like they should be. Said it hurt me. I said, honey, let me tell you one thing. Don't let that bother you. I said, you might see most anything, but just take care of number one. That's all you live it. And that's all that's required of you. You help somebody else if you can. But if you can't help them, well, you got to let them go. But I said, just don't worry about that. I said, everybody is not going to make it. Everybody's not going to make it. That's sad. But everybody's not going to make it. But we've got our chance. Right here tonight, we've got our chance. Are we going to take our chance? Are we going to do what God wants us to do? But I'll tell you one thing. God is moving. He's moving for us. And if we'll just stay up before him, God will bless us and help us if we'll walk up right before him. So tonight, I appreciate him. I love him. I thank him for this wonderful way. I'll tell you, I don't feel like I have missed a thing. In my teenage years, I've gone to church. I don't mean to be bragging about myself. But listen, you young people needs to know what we've all done. We've stayed on the job, and God has blessed us. I'll tell you what, I've gathered with the older people, what I call old people. I went to church whenever I was one of the old, youngest people there, but I went because I wanted God, and I didn't realize that down the road how much greater it would be, but it's getting so greater, and I don't feel like that I've missed a thing to work. I didn't go to the parties. I didn't go this, and I didn't go that. I went to church, and God has blessed me, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I've stayed on the job through thick and thin. Well, this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful, and to hear the word of God's explained, and like I say, we heard about the devil. We heard about the flesh. We heard everything. And the minister didn't withhold one thing from us. And sometimes we'd almost open our mouth and think, oh, really, really? It was just almost unbelievable, but it was the truth. So tonight, I so appreciate the Lord. I don't feel like this is too hard. We might think it is, and it hurts the flesh, but I'll tell you, we got to give it up anyhow. Jesus give it up. He give it up. You and I can give it up. We've got to if we make it. So tonight, Brother Smith, I'm praying for our church that God will bless us, that we'll be a shining light to the city, because, listen, sin is on the rampage, and if we'll stick on the job and be saints of God, and don't worry, young people, don't worry. Worry of what they say to you about how you dress. Listen, just think, oh God, I'll tell you what. I went to Walmart the other day, my husband's getting the groceries, and I sat there, and I'll tell you what, oh God, you can see some of the most terrible thoughts. I go into the lunch department, sit down and wait on him, and you almost want to cover your eyes sometimes, some of the things that you see. And I seen a lady, big lady, come down through there. And you know these old tight pants that they're wearing, you know, those black tight pants? Well, she didn't only have on nothing like this. She had the whole suit on. And to beat it all, it was red. And first thing I thought of, pardon me, I thought, my God, there comes the devil. Woo! I tell you what, and she had a black high heel shoes, real high heel shoes. Woo! I tell you what, I was talking to my sister, and I know she thought I looked funny. I looked around and see the woman. Oh, my Lord. I thought, my Lord, what is this world coming to? And listen, Elder Brother Souders taught years ago. He said, before this is thing over, before this thing's over with, you're going to see people with no clothes on. I thought, brother, they're coming to it in a hurry. I mean to tell you, they're coming to it in a hurry. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I wouldn't have a heart attack if I seen somebody tomorrow, because I believe that's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. But I'll tell you what, you and I have got a job to do. Listen. The only Jesus that a lot of people sees is going to see you and me. And if we don't portray Jesus, they're not going to see it. They're not going to see it. And they're looking to us. They're looking to us to live the life. So tonight, I tell you what, I appreciate this way more than I could ever tell you. Oh, I appreciate it. This is wonderful. And please don't ever think it's too hard, because, look, Jesus paid the price. And you and I can do it too. He showed us that it could be done. And so tonight, I believe with all my heart that we can do it. And just like someone said tonight about people, when you dress right, they think that you're trying to show them up. Well, I tell them, look, you look just as bad to me as I do to you. I just absolutely will not let them get by with it. If they want to be say ugly things to me, nothing, I won't be ugly with them, but I just point out to them that you look just as bad to me as I do to you. And I'll say, this is the way that they say, well, why do you dress like you do? I said, well, what's wrong with it? You know, I said, well, my husband likes me to look like his wife. I'm his wife, you know. And so, but anyway, you just have to have an answer for them, but a nice way. A nice answer will turn away wrath. So tonight, I just tell you, I love the Lord. I appreciate this day. I have felt so good today. It's been wonderful, and God is so good to us. But I have a new hope tonight. I want to climb up higher in the Lord. I know that I'm getting old, but bless God, I still got some speak. Pick the ring up, Brother Tucker's head. I told Brother Smith one time, I said, Brother Smith, don't you think that... What did I say? I got some, what did I say? Anyway, some get up and go. That's not what I said, but anyway, I used to really, really help in the prayer line, and I loved to help somebody get the Holy Ghost. In fact, if anybody wanted, I'd just help them tonight. But anyway, I told him, I said, Brother Smith, don't you think I can't remember my word now that I said to you. But anyway, some get up and go, something that it really wants to do something. So, but anyway, this wonderful salvation is so real. It is so great. And really, we can look around and see that God has blessed us to give us this wonderful knowledge that he's given us, things that we never dreamed of. And I thought too how that I'm wrong on this, Brother Smith, you can correct me. But I thought how that back in days, and I've been studying about John the Revelator, how that he all those wonderful things that God gave him. And I thought he gave them to the people back there in those days. And Brother Souders, I thought Brother Souders is a John the Revelator in our day. Does that sound pretty good? I think it does. But anyway, so I thought of the wonderful things that Brother Souders has taught us. And I was amazed, and another thing before I sit down, I want to tell you, whenever we heard this gospel, when it come to our part of the country, the minister began to tell us, and like I say, he didn't withhold anything. He just absolutely just dished it out to us. And if you like it, okay, and if you don't, do something about it. But anyway, he really told us all of the things that we needed to know. I mean, some of the things that was hard to chew on. But anyway, we took them and went home and cried and prayed and accepted them. And I thought how that we didn't, it wasn't easy. It just wasn't easy. So that's the way that I got this gospel. I didn't get it put on a silver platter to me and handed out to me. And Sister Crow, it's this way, and we don't want to hurt your feelings. No, sir, they did not. They wasn't trying to hurt our feelings, but they just put it out. That's the way they did it. Brother Souders was very plain. And I read his books every day because I really love and enjoy the things that we was taught. And so... anyway, God is so good, and I appreciate him tonight, and Well, I've said what I had, I don't know, but anyway, God knows all about it. But I've delivered what I feel tonight, and I feel great tonight. I feel great, and I want to make it, Sister Dolores, we've come through the ranks, and God has blessed us, and say, it's no time to quit now, but it's time for us all to take a hold and really work for God. And I mean business. There's no such a thing as a casual Christian. I don't like crap. I don't like that word, even casual. Be a casual Christian. Look, let's be real men and women for God. Let's dress like them, look like them, act like them, be like them. And God will be so pleased that he will give us eternal life. So God is so good. Bless his name. Oh, hallelujah.
My family didn't go to church. I had a step-grandmother that went to church, came to the body of Christ. I rode my bicycle when I was about in the fourth grade. And my mother died when I was young, and so I was looking for my mother, I guess. But I felt love in the church, and I was drawn to that love. I thought the people of God have love, and I guess I was looking for nurturing. And so in the fourth grade, I rode my bicycle by myself, and my dad gave me 10 cents to put in the church. I mean, he promoted me to go, but he didn't actually go with me. And he was kind of from, I found out later, Church of Christ. My other grandmother was Methodist. My mother was First Baptist. She took me with her when she was alive. And she loved to hear the preacher. She loved to hear what he had to say. And she'd make me be quiet so she could hear what he said. It was important. And I thought, well, she really loves to go there. So I guess I thought maybe I would find her, or, you know, I did not really understand death at that time. And, anyway, when I went to the Baptist church on my bicycle that day, I was there without anybody but myself. And I was real, you know, I thought I was real big. I thought, had that 10 cents, it felt like a bunch of money to me. And back then, it was worth more. And so I heard one of the ushers say, though, oh, don't pay any attention to her. Her family's not here, and she's just... She's just here by herself. She doesn't have anything to add to the church, you know, basically. And that hurt my feelings. I thought, oh, I wonder if he knows how that affected me, you know. Because I felt like I was there to find love and acceptance and nurturing, maybe. And really, I was curious why my mother was so in love with going to church. And anyway... I grew up, my dad married twice after my mother died. I had two stepmothers, and the first stepmother was kind of, it's really funny, I knew some of the people from the church through them, and then when he married the second one, her mother didn't drive, but she'd always let me ride to church with her, and I'd always ask, but I was really raised to be more worldly. I really was. I was raised to go out there and be popular and, you know, make a name for yourself. But I never did like the spirit I felt out there. I wasn't really drawn to that, and I thought, got to be careful because people, my mother died young. I thought, you know, things that happen to you in this life could affect your life. They could take your life quick. You know, who you associate with or whatever. And I noticed that my mother's relationships, you know, probably caused her to die younger because they were not nurturing relationships. And so I thought, people in your life are very important. And I just wanted to be around better people. That was the desire of my heart. And God drew me with that. Sister Crow has always been a good example. She's been a sweetheart. And I appreciate her. I appreciate our young people because I know how they're looking for something to build their life on. I got to come to a youth meeting here when I was about 12, actually. I drove. Had license back then. They let you drive younger then because there wasn't so many people on the road, and you had to be responsible back then pretty young to make a living. People went to work younger. And my dad told me he went to work young and that he was never sorry for it, so I went to work young. And I got married on my 20th birthday. And I'd never really dated. I never dated, and I was in church. I came with my grandmother to church. But my uncle was in the Air Force, and he introduced me to my husband. And everybody thought I was going to be an old maid because I didn't date. But, you know, I was busy. I was going to school. I was working. I bought my first car. I had my own place to live. I was very responsible at a young age. And I don't regret that. I think everybody ought to be able to make it on their own before they, you know, if they can, so you can be responsible and feel responsible, feel independent, feel responsible. I'm thankful in a way for my life because my family provided all my needs. Except my spiritual needs. They couldn't feel that. And I guess the church was my mother, you know, and I had a desire to be with her, and I found that love in Jesus. One night when I was in bed, I prayed until I said, Lord, I'm going to pray till I pray through. I didn't even have the Holy Ghost, but I thought, I need to feel you cover me because I'm afraid of this world. I need to know that you're there for me. And something nobody can take away from me. And I think everybody, all our young people, they have to have a real deep, close relationship with God because without it, this world can sweep you off your feet. It says in the latter days that there'll be wonders and things that people will wonder after. It's like the world doesn't want you to be innocent. It doesn't want you to be clean and have a pure spirit. It wants you to be drawn after the I don't know why, because it's death. It's death out there. It produces death. I don't know why that they don't see that, but they don't. And so they will try to lure our young people. My children have been through a lot. I don't know why the trials and tribulations we've had to go through. We've missed a lot of church. There's been a lot of illness. I don't understand it, really. I just keep going. I'm a Christian soldier. And I'm just trying to live for God. And my husband, I know he's a good man. He's a very sweet, dear, good man. And I just want to help him all I can. I do think somehow in the end we're going to come out victorious. I believe in God. I believe that Jesus is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I really appreciate having this body of people to come to. I really appreciate our church and our liberty to worship free, because I know that every day we're losing our freedoms. There's people out there, they're just writing them off the books. They're just our Congress people and things. I don't know what they think they're doing. We're just losing everything that originally the people came here to get away and have religious freedom, and they forgot all those things. We're not teaching them in the schools. We're not teaching our children that there is an enemy out there, and it is trying to take everything that we have for life and what Jesus represents. But I just appreciate the young people. I'm seeing them come up in here, and I think it's important being able to play in the band. I think being able to play an instrument helps keep you in church. I'm just thinking about all these things. Today is Brother Lineker's birthday, and I thought about him all week and all the things that he tried to produce. Brother Tucker and all the things that they sacrificed. Brother and Sister Tucker could have spent all that money they saved up, and instead they put it into this building. They saved it and gave it and passed it on so we could have this building to worship in. And Brother and Sister Weiniger picked up where, and they have been very faithful. And Brother and Sister Smith, I really appreciate y'all coming here, and because I thought we were going to lose our church for a while, and I really appreciate what y'all have done. The church is beautiful, and people can come here and worship God and feel like, well, there's nothing really. I don't see where they could go and worship God in a better condition anywhere, and I appreciate that. I am thankful to be here. I'm still God's girl, and I'm not going to give up. And I've taught in the school here. I've taught in the church. I've been with people that just I loved and were dear to me, and some of them have passed off the scene, but we'll see each other again one day, I feel. And that's what I'm living for. I want to see these people again. I want to see Jesus one day, and I want him to be able to be pleased. And I just love our music. Our music really touches my soul. Y'all have some of the most beautiful music. I've studied music a lot, and I love it. I would like to get more involved in it one day if I can, if my family could get better. And Lord, help me. Whatever happens, Lord, just make a way, and he will. I know he will. I have a lot of faith, because I think I've seen a lot of things happen that are like miracles in this life. And I look for the good. I hope for the good, because I think that's the only thing that's going to rise to the top, the cream. And I just really appreciate the spirit I feel here. It's really feeding my soul. I was thinking about Brother Lineker's birthday, and then Brother Smith got up this morning and said Revelations 21:1, and I thought, well, that is funny. But anyway, I appreciate everything that I've heard today, and like I said, it's life to my soul, and I do try to cling to everything I hear and learn. I want to learn more. I want to study more, and like Brother York and the brother, I'm sorry, I can't remember everybody's name right now. I'm sorry. And Sister Crow, Brother Sister Crow, they're so sweet. They ran into my daughter at the hospital one day when Steve was real ill. And I want to tell you that Brother Crow touched my daughter's heart. He really did. He was so kind and loving. And I told him, I said, you don't know what you've done to my daughter. And she's mentioned it to me several times. I hope that draws her back in church. And my grandchildren, they've really gone through a really hard time, but I don't know what they have to suffer. I don't know what they have to go through. They're not my responsibility. I wish they were, but they're not, and I can't do much about it but pray and try to come and try to do the best I can, encourage them. If you think about us, pray for us, pray for my children.
because I don't think it's God's will that they be lost. I really don't. I have dedicated my whole life to the Lord more than people even know. When I used to work, I had to dress, and they promoted me right after I got here, and I also wanted to work in the school, and I would not sacrifice anything. So I worked here free, and I worked at the job so we could make it financially, but I guess I was working sometimes day and night just to keep going. And, you know, I look back, and it was such a hardship, but I would never trade for that. That has really kept me going a lot. All the things I heard and learned when I was here working, I don't regret it a bit. I was here 7 days a week. I was in church more than some people that just go to church. And I really never did not look. I enjoyed every bit of it. I would never take for it. It has really, I guess, given me strength to get through the hard times. And I appreciate all the people who've touched my life in this church and this body of people. They're all precious souls to me. There are some that are not here right now, and I pray for them, and I love them, and I do float in and out of their lives a little bit, sometimes hoping that sometimes I'll see them back here. I pray that we'll all be together again, and it's all in God's hands, and I trust Him. I have confidence in the Lord. And I'm, like everybody said, it's a miracle. Life is a miracle. It couldn't have just happened. Like, you know, the nostrils down and all those things. I mean, we're so wondrously made. There has to be a loving Heavenly Father that had a wisdom that we were created and made. And I appreciate being here. I appreciate the ministry staying on the job. Thank you for being here for me. Thank you for being here for all the lost souls here, because they have some place to come. Because otherwise, if this church had shut down, we would not have had any place for anyone to go. But way off, we would have had to move or relocate, which y'all all did, which we appreciate. Thank you for coming to be with us and help us. God bless y'all.
that song and good words tonight. I was going to mention to you, thought it may be interesting to you if Brother Painter put this little sister's picture up on the overhead screen. She's in Brother Noel's church in Montreal, little Haitian sister. And if you can see her that good. She's got that little bitty hat on her head. She's a little bitty thing. They just had her 118th birthday. And she's from Haiti. She was living in Haiti and she was living there during the time of the earthquake. And they found her under the debris. And, of course, obviously, she survived. And Canada heard her story, and they offered her citizenship and told her to bring her family and come and live in Canada. So she got out of Haiti. Of course, she lost everything there. And she now lives in Canada, and her family got to go there and become citizens, and she's now in Brother Noel's church, 118 years old. Brother Goss said, Brother Goss just turned 80 in April, and he said, I believe I can make it till the church is restored. Of course, he don't want to die. He never has. Ever since I've known him, he's holding out to make it. But Sister Crow, I thought I'd give you a little encouragement. 118. She'd think you're just a young whippersnapper. What would that make her? 29 years older than you. But we know, that's rare for anybody. I don't know how old the oldest person in the world is. I think it's something like 124 or 127 or something like that. Pretty old. I can't remember exactly, but she's getting up there with them for sure. And I sent that picture to my wife, Sister Smith. We went home and had a good dinner, and Mother was feeling good. And right before we left to come to church, Sister Smith was trying to get her settled in, settled down and going back from the bathroom, and just looked away for a minute, and she had a hard fall in the hallway and cut her elbow. And so Sister Smith stayed home. I helped her get her in bed, but she was still doctoring her cut and everything when I left. But anyway, she's sure failing, and really need your prayers. Also, just in closing here, I just want to make a few announcements. Y'all might look around and notice who's missing church. It'd do good if you just call them, give them a call, tell them you missed them, and just let them still feel like somebody cares. Sometimes it helps for someone to. Sometimes people go through something, they go through a bump, and they get discouraged over something, and if they don't come and nobody says anything to them, they feel like, of course, if the pastor calls them, they think you're trying to put pressure on them or getting on to them. And help me out a little bit. Just look around. You see somebody missing a little church, just try to remember to do something and to encourage them. See if you can be an encouragement in some way to them. Then the youth meeting in Wichita starts, is it Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday night, is that right? At 7 o'clock. So they still need some workers. You know, if anyone is planning on going, hadn't mentioned it to me yet, and they're willing to help out. Okay, have we? Huh? Okay, well, I'll tell them, because they're asked me to give them. His name's Brother Brett Weiniger's going. He asked me to give him his name. Okay. All right. I'll make sure Sister Denise knows, because she's making out the schedule. But so if everything works, all I'm going to try to go myself. If Mother does all right, if I can, well, at least go if I keep part of it. Anyhow, if I can't make the whole thing, I'd like to make it. Let's remember our meeting. I haven't talked to your brethren yet to find out what all you got done on work day, but I know there's still more to do, and we'll have more work days. So, and that is it's November the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. That would be Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday. I have considered having it start Monday night and being over Thursday. I've considered that, but it might be hard on people driving to get here after Sunday. Some people drive all the way from Florida. I pretty well went back to Tuesday night, but our Tuesday night service will be an open service, our first night. I haven't figured out how to do that. If we just have a regular worship service, or if we open it as a minister's meeting and invite all the women in just to sit in on it. I haven't decided how to do that, but and all the local folks. But anyway, it'll be open one way or the other. The last time we had it closed. And the reason we didn't do that before, and I know how it's going to be a little bit difficult, because we set up all the tables for the minister's meeting, get all the names on them, and that's difficult to do, you know, after a night of an open service, and get it set up the next morning for that. But I think if we plan ahead far enough, we can accomplish it. We have the name cards out, we have them already lined out how we want it. I don't think it'll take that long to get it done, and I think the open service will benefit us. And the last time we had Friday as an open service, it was like a mass exodus in here by noon on Friday. I mean, it started out with a full house, and by noon, three-fourths of the people had left. You know, they left to get back on the road home. They'll stay for a closed minister's meeting, but if it's open, they just feel like, you know, maybe I don't need to stay. So I'm going to head them off at the pass. Also, I announced, I think it was last week, that we need a couple, maybe even three men that would be willing to, and they could rotate, actually, and help one another to close up the church after services. Make sure, you know, somebody has to stay back and make sure all the lights are out, all the air conditioners are, they're all automatic. They're set on timers to come on and off, but sometimes people change the thermostats during a service, and if we're not careful, we'll have air conditioners running when it's 95 degrees outside on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and you wouldn't believe how much money it costs to cool this building. You know, our electric bill this time of year is way in excess of $1,000 a month, and so just on the three services we have a week. So you go ahead and start cooling it three more days, and having just maybe one or two air conditioners on, they're working full time, and then they freeze up, and it's bad on the equipment, so we do have to make sure all the doors are locked, all the lights are off, and the air conditioners are off, and the alarm's set. So Brother Mark Boyd has volunteered to take on that responsibility, but I don't want him to have to do it by himself, because if he's ever sick or, he, you know, it'd be so much easier if someone would rotate with him. And so if you're willing to help us out in that area, well, you know, I know that there's men here that will do it, that work full-time jobs and that have to get up real early in the morning, and even Brother Mark has to get up early in the morning. But, you know, I don't want men like Brother Durham. I know he gets up 4 o'clock in the morning and goes to work real early, and, you know, I don't want men to be staying here. So when we, I am telling them that, you know, you can, you know, about 15 minutes after service is over, well, if you're going to keep, if we're just visiting, we can even move it outside if we need to, so these men can get everything locked up. Of course, while you're visiting, they can go around and get everything else done before they lock up. But that also can be done, you know, right, but even before service is over, they can make sure that the air conditioners are set right. And anyway, we can work on some better ways for them to accomplish it. But if the doors back there, like on Sunday mornings, are locked while there's people still in here, I told them, I said, just go ahead and lock them. If a person goes outside and gets locked out, there's enough people in here, you can bang on the door and get them to open the door for you. So it's not going to be really a problem. But anyway, if you would help us out on that, it would be good. All right. Is there any other announcements that we need? Keep Brother Albert Adams in Benton Harbor on your prayer list. He did post on Facebook today that he was feeling good walking around in the hospital this morning, and that the doctor came to him and said, we need to operate on you today. Do 3 little operations because you've got infection. I think he said 1 bad one on one side and a smaller one on another side and 1 in his lung area. And they said they need to drain these, so they need to do something to them so they can drain. He's got, if I understand it right, MRSA infection, which is MRSA, which is a really serious infection. It can even be more serious than staph. So, he really does need our prayers. And he's got a real rare leukemia that's really incurable. It's treatable, but it can affect him like it's affecting him right now. And so he needs God's prayers. So keep him in your prayers. All right, let's stand and give the Lord a praise tonight. I, the 101st Psalm said, I will sing mercy and judgment and glorify the Lord. You know, when you sing, you're not singing to me, you're not singing to yourself, but you're singing to Him. And when you're praising Him, you're giving Him glory. You're glorifying Him. You're honoring Him. And I think He's worthy of our praises. And we are to remain thankful for all that He's done. This is a relationship between you and Him. That's what we're working on. It's our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, You're good to us. We love You and thank You for Your goodness, oh, God. Your blessings on our lives, Your favoritism. God, You're looking on us and helping and assisting. You're our help, our buckler, our shield, our great physician. Oh, God, we're thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.